Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220 The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here this afternoon, and want to remind you that our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Good to be with you today. And I had to have a chat with Pastor Lutz on his way out to remind him that he's the one who asked for this cold weather here. And so he was joking about that in his program just before us. Appreciate his ministry there out on the east side. No, sorry, out on the west side. He's out in Lakewood, Ohio, of course. But appreciate that. Well, we're going to get into a couple of things here today. And glad you're able to be with us here this afternoon. And if you have not been watching the news, absolutely stunning week, I guess you could say. It kind of started out with the New York Times having conniption fits over the Secretary of State being AWOL when President Trump was talking about the Iran deal and taking the United States out of that, which, by the way, it was merely a presidential action. There was never any treaty involved, nothing like that ever taken care of. So it was just purely a presidential action, and a bad one at that. And, I keep hearing these people go, oh, it's going to be war. It's going to be war. They're going to be attacking us. And I heard the same thing about North Korea and talking about things happening this week. Things happening in North Korea are just incredible right now, and to continue to pray for that situation. It was earlier this week that after the New York Times went into a tizzy over Secretary of State Mike Pompeo being missing in action, AWOL, that we found out that, he didn't bother to call the New York Times ahead of time to say, hey, I'm embarking on a top secret mission to North Korea to bring the three hostages back from North Korea. Instead, he went and did what he's supposed to do as a man of God and working in government service. And so he went there, and he did his job, and he brought back the three hostages, and they were brought back to the United States. They arrived, I think, about 3 in the morning, Andrews Air Force Base the other night. President Trump went out there. He was joking. Probably this is the best ratings for 3 in the morning that the TVs, the different people that were there probably have, because of being a live event that streamed live on the internet. I saw some of it up before that. I didn't actually see stay up to when they actually came in. But it just an astounding thing to see what's happening. And these three men, had been there for a while. And obviously, if you looked at them, you could see that what President Trump has been doing and saying has been having an effect on the North Koreans, because they had brought them out of the prison camps and put them in a hotel for a while. We don't know how long, but if you looked at them, they obviously had been receiving some food and medical attention prior to their release back to the United States, because coming out of a North Korean prison camp, they would have looked kind of like the pictures. If you remember seeing the pictures of the people in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany during World War II, that's kind of what they, a lot of the people in the prison camps there look like. And so hopefully we're seeing some developments toward peace there on the Korean Peninsula. So continue to pray for that area there. The other thing that's been happening here is the increase in activity in and around Israel. The Hamas is calling for a day of rage and trying to storm the southern border of Israel there along the Gaza Strip because of the opening of the United States Embassy in Jerusalem coming Monday, I believe, is they're going to be cutting the ribbon. The street signs are all up. It's exciting. And then also the Palestinian groups in Israel are calling for a day of rage as well. They're trying. They're planning all kinds of protests and unrest and things. And of course, Iran has been using its proxies in Syria as well as directly through the Iranian Republican Guard in Syria to lob missiles and various attacks in Israel from the north. And all this is going on, and I don't think it's simply because President Trump pulled out of the Iranian deal. I think it's because the United States has recognized Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the Jewish people, and we're moving our embassy there. And as a result of that, last count, I think it's like 8 or 10 other countries have agreed to move their embassies to Jerusalem as well. So it's kind of exciting times. President Trump was hoping to be able to go there be there for the opening of the new American embassy in Jerusalem. But I think because of the unrest and things that are going on, some of the threat, it may be why he's not going there in person right now, although his daughter Ivanka and her husband Jared Kushner are going there, and they will have a prominent place with that opening ceremony. But Psalm 122, verse 6 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." And we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's a tinderbox over there. Even before President Trump pulled out of the bad deal of the Iranian agreement, they were talking about in Jerusalem, the defense minister and others were saying that it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when that there's war between Israel and Iran. The Iranians have been, the Israelis released a treasure trove of intelligence showing that the Iranians have been continuing their nuclear program despite this agreement that President Obama and former Secretary of State John Kerry had concluded with Iran. And despite all that, they were full steam ahead with their nuclear ambitions. And so now it's just the more out in the open. But I do pray for that situation and things that are happening there. Jerusalem certainly has become a stumbling stone, a burdensome stone, as the Bible says, to the nations around about the world. So we're going to be watching anxiously, hopefully Sunday night on our Sunday night program, 11 o'clock, I'll be talking more about this. And a reminder too, you can find out more about our program at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly give you an invitation to visit us there. And also, you can find past programs there at livewithpastoral.com. In addition to that, you can also go on our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And if you go there, you can watch the program on Facebook Live there, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. Well, I want to continue to encourage you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As I said, we'll be talking about that in our 11 o'clock program Sunday night, Lord willing. And so I hope you'll be able to join us then. And I'm sure some of the ribbon cutting and all will be available online. Certainly some of the television outlets, I'm sure, will be covering that as well. All right, let's see. What else did I want to mention here? Mother's Day is coming up, and I encourage you to send a note to your mothers, and you know, the first, the Bible says the first commandment, Jesus said the first commandment with promise was the commandment to honor your fathers and mothers. And so Mother's Day is a great day to do that, do just that. And so certainly honor your mothers here. Father's Day comes up in June, so you can honor them then, but you can honor your parents any day of the year. So let me encourage you, if you don't have a place to meet or to worship, why don't you come out and visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find, like I said, more about that and click the link for our church at livewithpastoral.com. Well, we have been talking about a number of things dealing with the millennial generation and kind of a misunderstood generation. But, you know, I've kind of noticed that every time that a newer generation begins to edge into the point which they're starting to move out into the world, out from high school, out from college, out into the workplace, and starting to begin to take their place in society and beginning to spread their wings, the older generations always kind of scratch their head and they look at the younger generation and say, "What is going on with these people? We weren't like that. Who could understand them?" But one of the concerns, I saw a statistic recently that said that America is becoming a less religious nation, and that concerns me because we're a nation that was founded on religious liberties, and becoming a less religious nation in the sense that more and more people are not going to churches, and also atheists and agnostics, people who consider themselves atheists, agnostics, are on the rise in our country. And part of the problem is because I think some of us in the older generations, and I'm in my 50s, but some of us in the older generations, I think we bear responsibility for this, because when we talk about the millennials, we're talking about our children. We're talking about, in some cases, now our grandchildren. And you know, these are the people that we were educating. And so before we blame the millennials too much for not being as interested in God and not being a part of church and all that, I think we really need to look to ourselves. And I had been reading through a letter here dealing with the millennial viewpoint. It was written by someone who considers themselves a millennial, and of course we've been touching on this off and on over the past couple of months. I haven't gone through the whole thing. It's a rather long letter, and this is an open letter by a new generation of millennial independent Baptists, and so we've been talking about some of these things. This is one thing that concerns me in our churches, is the idea that you're not allowed to ask questions. And I tell people all the time, if somebody tells you you can't ask questions, that ought to be a red flag. I saw a video online one time, and this guy's preaching, and he's talking about being at a youth camp, and a Bible camp for youth. And he was telling about how they had this one camper, and he's preaching, and he's getting all these amens and, you know, "Praise God, preach it, brother," type stuff. And he's saying, you know, we had this one camper. He was that worst kind. He's the kind that asks questions. And I'm thinking to myself, ask questions? What's wrong with that? You know, doesn't the Bible say something about come now, let us reason together? You know, we ought to be able to ask questions. And he said this guy was asking these questions, and finally he just punched a guy in the chest and knocked the wind out of him. And, you know, people were saying, "Oh, praise God." I'm thinking, why in the world, you know, this guy should have been arrested. You know, this is uncalled for because somebody asked questions. Does that mean, dare say, he's thinking about what you're talking about rather than just accepting everything you say because you said it? Now, I'm sorry, friends, but I don't want people coming to our church and just believing what I say, or listening to our radio program and just believing what I say because I said it. To me, that's not a good reason. I remember going to a Christian leadership seminar up in Michigan one time, and it was a big name guy, pastor of the largest independent Baptist church in America at the time, and he was talking about leadership, and he was going through, and you know, having been in the military, we went through various leadership training classes and or seminars and instruction and different types of leadership, so I had a working knowledge there. When I was in college back at Colorado State, you know, we had some courses. I remember I had taken an elective one time to fulfill some of my electives for my biology degree, and I thought, I'm going to take something completely out of my sphere of influence or interest here, and I took a business-oriented leadership class, and I kind of almost forgot about having taken that class until recently. And in the class, we went through the styles of leadership and all. And I think it was good because it was something outside of the orientation that I was in, the sciences and natural resources and such like that, to be around these business majors and things and get their perspective. And then, thankfully, a couple of our professors, I should say, realized that a lot of the jobs that people in the biology realm and natural resource realm might go into might involve public jobs where you would be working for a public agency where eventually you may be in a leadership position. And so they talked about some forms of leadership. So I had a lot of variety of training and instruction in leadership types from the public sector, the military, and even from a business sector. And so I was eagerly anticipating what this great sage was going to instruct us as to the best types of leadership. And he said, the best type of leadership, most of you think, is when people follow you because you follow Christ. And I thought, wow, you know, what could be better than that? I mean, didn't Paul say something to the effect of following him as he followed Christ? And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, if there's something better than people following you because you follow Christ, it must be pretty amazing. And then after talking about that, he says, the best form of leadership, better than having people follow you because you follow Christ, is when people follow you simply because you're the leader. What a deflation that was. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, that's ridiculous. Not only ridiculous, that's dangerous. You know, you think of some of these cults where they develop this fascination of people following them simply because they're the leader. And the leader demands absolute loyalty. And I've heard stories about pastors who would say, you know, my people don't question anything I say. I was a missionary in the Samoan Islands. And as I was down there, we worked for a time with this one church that had been established there in the 1970s. I was there in the 1990s. And it was a national pastor that was there, and we're trying to get some, you know, grasp of the Samoan language and culture and where on the island we should establish a church. So we were there for a little while, and a guy came down from California, an older gentleman, and he wanted to do some work as like a short-term missionary in terms of doing some building and construction work there. The church there had a school and some buildings and everything that they were trying to expand, and so he came down, And one day I was talking with him, and he said, you know, if the pastor told me to burn these buildings down, I would do it. And I said, why? And he said, well, because he's the pastor, and, you know, God must have spoken to him, and who am I to question the pastor? And I said, are you serious? And he said, absolutely. And I'm thinking to myself, this is cultish. This is cultish. And so I encourage questions, and at our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, I tell people to ask questions. We have Friday night coming up tonight. We have, starting at 7 o'clock, we meet and we have a Bible question and answer time, an open-ended Bible study. People bring questions. You know, when we were doing this, I've had people say to me, well, Brother Al, what if they ask you something you don't know? Well, I appreciate questions like that because they make me think. And, you know, we can try to cobble together an answer sometime and try to make people think we know what we're talking about. But in our Friday night Bible study, since we have time, we start at 7 o'clock, we run till about 9 o'clock, and it's informal. We have time to say, well, let's look into it. And we start going through the Bible, and we start searching out some of the information on the topic and the question. And a lot of times we start to come to an answer. And I'm thinking about this, and the idea that some people would tell people not to ask questions. That's just so beyond me. I want people to ask questions. That's why we do these radio programs. People call in and ask questions. And we've had questions, everything from where did Cain get his wife? And there is a biblical answer to that. We've had questions, if God is all-powerful, can he make a boulder that's so big he can't move it? And all kinds of things like that. And I don't shy away from them, because people learn, or at least a lot of people learn, by asking questions. And in this open letter that I had, we had, he made some statements here. Let me read this statement. He said, most churches treat us like children. Our youth groups and Sunday schools are shallow. Deep theology and Bible study are avoided. When we ask questions about our faith, we do not receive answers. We receive rebuke. Because I said so will never be acceptable to the millennial. We have Google and the internet to find out why. Now we want you to tell us or tell what you believe and why you believe it. And, you know, think about that. One of the best compliments I think I've ever had, somebody at our church had said to my wife that, you know, we've been in church all our life in a variety of good, independent, fundamental, King James only Baptist churches. And so we've learned more in the past a couple of years than we did in all our life about the Bible since we've been coming here. Now, I'm not saying that to brag, that I'm some great Bible theologian, scholar, whatever, but what prompted that was that in our church, we allow people to ask questions. We try to encourage people to ask questions. We try to give people an opportunity to say, you know what, I don't know, I don't understand, or I don't agree with that. And yeah, so this letter from this millennial says, we will be asking questions about standards of modesty in music. We will be asking questions about baptism and salvation. We will be asking about Bible versions and why the King James Bible is supreme. I heard somebody say one time that he taught that the King James Bible was the Word of God preserved and inerrant for us today because, well, that's what I was taught in Bible school. Well, you need a better answer than that. I mean, it's good that you believe it, but why? We will ask about creationism and evolution. This is what he says, we expect thorough answers from you, or at least direction. And then he said this, he goes on to say this, if you ignore and don't answer us, or even worse, make it so the atmosphere will not be conducive conducive to asking questions, we have Google in our fingertips. The entire worldly wisdom and knowledge is within our grasp, and who knows what Google searches lead to. And, you know, as a pastor, as a Bible teacher, part of my responsibility is to help people to understand the Word of God. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch when Philip came up in the book of Acts there and was talking to him, and he was reading in the book of Isaiah, and Philip asked him the question, you know, he's talking about, or asked what he's reading, and the Ethiopian eunuch was explaining. He said, who's he talking about here? And he wanted to know. He had questions, and Philip took the time to answer his questions, you know, how can I know except some man guide me? And so we need godly individuals, Bible teachers, pastors, Sunday school teachers, mature Christians in our churches that are willing to allow young people to ask questions. We don't want them to simply believe because I said so. We don't want them to believe because that's what our church stands for. That's what our church believes, because that's what I was taught. Therefore, you need to believe it. Search the scriptures. Become a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then help the younger generation learn to understand why, not only what you believe, but why you believe it. That's an important thing. That's what I want people to know. I want them to know what the Bible says and why I believe it. And hopefully they'll share the same beliefs for the same reasons. Well, we're out of time today. Why don't you join us next time? Have a great weekend. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.